Well, I will tell you some people that are not disappointed that the snow came, and that is the children. At least in my household. It didn't break their heart one bit. They got 3 days off from school, and what was it, the second day? But Joshua, he'd been riding a snowmobile, terrorizing the neighborhood. And he and Jesse went out one afternoon. I think it was on Wednesday, wasn't it? Is that Wednesday? You guys went out on the snowmobile? Was that Thursday? Yeah, they were out on a snowmobile Thursday, and they came back early, and like, well, what are you back early for? And he said, well, my snowmobile caught on fire. So he's riding the snowmobile across the snow. Thank God it was snow, because they put the fire out with the snow. Problem is, Dad had to go get the snowmobile. It wasn't a big deal. I made them drag it up to where we could get it with the truck. Anyhow, praise God. Well, I'm excited this morning to actually minister this message as the Lord was revealing more and more to me what the message was going to entail. Like I said, I was beginning to bubble up a little bit ago, and I wanted to just spill the beans right there on the thing. But I was like, Lord, I said, you threw so much stuff at me. I'm a simple guy, okay? Let me grab hold of one thing at a time. And, you know, I'm sitting over there, I'm like, Lord, these scriptures, I got to find a way to put them in an order. So we're going to just let the Holy Spirit take over today. Amen? It's not that I've got them. It's just I know what the Lord's stirring in me, because as I'd sit there and I'd read it, I'd feel the message welling up, and that's just the way God does with me. So anyhow, so what one thing do you think mankind was put on this earth to do? If you had to guess one, if I were to ask several different people, I'd probably get different answers. Some people say, well, I'm here to praise the Lord. Well, yeah, maybe you are. But I'm talking mankind as a whole. Oh, well, we were supposed to subdue and have dominion. Well, yeah, but that's not the ultimate goal of it. See, I believe the ultimate goal of mankind was to glorify God, period, in everything we do. And you say, well, Pastor, well, that's praising God. Well, no, that's not. This is called the sacrifice of praise. It's something we give to God. But our lot to glorify God, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we shall be witnesses. It doesn't say that you might be. It says you're going to be. Because you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a godly life, to be a witness in front of all the world. And so when Adam and Eve were put in this earth, they were put here originally to glorify God. Pastor, I still don't understand. It said all he told them to do was subdue the earth and have dominion. Right, we're going to go to the New Testament. So I want you to open to John chapter 17 for starters. I think that's where we want to start. John chapter 17, let's start in verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Now, the word glorify means to make weighty or show preference. Jesus is going to glorify God. And I'm going to just put it this way to you. Jesus had always been glorifying God. It wasn't just a moment right here in this Garden of Gethsemane that he was going to suddenly glorify God. Jesus had been glorifying God his entire life. Because what we understand as glorifying God, we come in and we think that praise and worship is how we're glorifying God. Praise and worship is a sacrifice. Let me make sure I don't want to get too far ahead of you, because I can see some of your wheels might be starting to slip. And like, Pastor, I'm having a hard time understanding here. Because it took me a little bit. I'm like, wait a minute. And as I read the scripture, I kept seeing that God wanted to glorify us. Okay? And you just, like I said, you got to hang with me. I got scripture for it. Jesus said it. It's in your Bible. It's in red. Matter of fact, let's Jump over in 17 to verse 8. Now, he's praying for his disciples, the people who believe, okay? He said, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, that they have received them and have known surely that I have come forth from you, and that they have believed that you sent me." Now, verse 10, he says, "And all mine are yours." So in other words, he's saying, what's mine? See, God gave him those disciples, and he said, "What is mine, I give to you, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them." So Jesus is glorified by his disciples' belief. Are you following so far? He's not glorified in the fact they ran down the road singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Those were the people that crucified him. He was glorified in the people who believed him. He was glorified by the people who obeyed him. I'm going to show you that here in a minute too. But as I was going down through here, I thought, well, we're here, we're going to go here. Now, go to the second half of verse 11. He says, "Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." He's saying that they may be one as you and I are, that they may be one with me and I am one with you. So if Christ is glorified, who else is glorified? We are. Okay, now hold on. I know you're going to say, you're getting goofy, Pastor. Go to verse 22. "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them." Does your Bible say that? Or something thereabouts, depending on your translation? "That they may be one just as we are." Jesus was glorified, or God the Father was glorified because Jesus came and obeyed. He came down in the authority. What did he say in 17:2? He said, "You've given me all authority." Who was the last person who had that? Adam. Mankind did not have authority since Adam fell. Even when Jesus was being tempted, Satan took him and he said, "Look at all these kingdoms." He said, "This is my authority that was delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." Do you wonder why there's kingdoms that rise up? It's because, first off, nowadays, since the days of Jesus Christ, it's because good men have sat by and done nothing. The men with power denied the power. We kicked the Holy Spirit out of the church. So, "Oh, we don't want the Holy Spirit. We don't want none of that stuff we can't control." I'm sorry, you can control it. That's a little shocker to some people. You can control anything that happens to you. If you don't want to roll on the floor, you're not going to roll on the floor. That's all there is to it. You don't want to laugh, you're not going to laugh. You don't want to cry, you're not going to cry. It's a matter of submitting our will. Now see, this is where our praise and worship comes in. See, we were created in the image of God, and we pretty much are like God. We had his authority, did we not? We look like him, do we not? Maybe not right now. But Adam and Eve sure did. As a matter of fact, I'm going to point out something else. The Bible says they were both in the garden and they were naked. They were naked as jaybirds and they didn't know it. And the reason for this is because they were covered in the glory of God, folks. They were glorified. As long as they did what God said, they were glorified. Because if you read, it says that after Adam, again, I've pointed this out, that after Adam ate the fruit is when their eyes were opened. It doesn't mean that suddenly they woke up. It was revealed to them they were naked because the glory of God lifted off of them because they had disobeyed God. Excuse me. So the glory of God covered Adam and Eve. And it was only upon sin entering their life or disobedience. And at that point, that disobedience was handing the authority of the kingdom over to the devil because they had succumbed to his ways. Now see, when we do that, thank God, Jesus came back and he said, "All authority has been given to me." What you got to understand, folks, is this is what I believe. You can believe what you want to believe about it. I believe that Adam was the covering for mankind in the beginning. But because Adam sinned, Jesus had to come. Now, God knew Adam was going to sin because Jesus, he had already factored that into creation. He said, all right, Jesus, after all this is done, I'm going to create man to defeat Satan. And he's going to fall. And he's going to give the authority back over to Satan. And Satan's going to rule the world. But you're going to come back and you're going to give them the authority and you're going to be their covering. See, that's why we can come to God and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. It's not that we were going to, in the beginning, we're going to be able to just run up and eat off the tree anytime we wanted to. I don't know what God's intentions were with the tree. Some people believe God was going to, eventually was going to give man this knowledge. I don't know. If you don't know it's bad, why? There's a lot of things I don't want to know. There's a lot of people who tell me you can't do something. Now, I'm the type of person, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it to prove you wrong, for starters. Now, it may hurt me. They put me in a hospital, but I'm going to try to do it. So, the devil, he got the authority, and Jesus took it back. Jesus has said, now, I give it to you. See, now, if we want to glorify God, how many of you want to glorify God? Every last one of us, that should be our goal, is to glorify God every day in our lives. That doesn't mean we're walking down the street shouting praise the Lord. Now, if God tells you to, Katie was telling me one day a guy was walking down the street and God told him to shout praise the Lord twice, and then this other guy was going to kill himself, wasn't he? He said, now, if you make somebody shout, say praise the Lord or something, I won't kill myself. I'll know you're real. The guy was a sinner. He didn't know better. And this guy, this preacher, walked down the street and God said, shout praise the Lord. I said, do it now. So he said, praise the Lord. He said, do it again. Praise the Lord. The guy was across the street. He was on his way to kill himself. So if God tells you to shout praise the Lord, you better shout praise the Lord. But that is not glorifying God in what we're talking about. That's being obedient. That glorifies God. See, my sons don't give me honor by saying, oh, Dad, we think you're the greatest. Well, they better believe I'm the greatest. Right, fathers? Your children better think you're the greatest. If not, 16 could be a long time away. That's not what brings me honor. What brings me honor is to see my sons grow, to see my sons obey what I have said, to see when I tell them these are your chores, I don't want to tell you every week to do them. When I come home, the bathroom's clean, the trash is taken out, the basement's clean, floors are swept. That brings me honor. I want to do great things for them in that case. But when I come home and I see them run off and they take off and play and the trash is overflowing, the floors haven't been swept, that doesn't put me in a good mood. It doesn't put anybody in a good mood, right? But when my children honor me and they obey me, they're bringing me glory. And that's what we do to God. See, God put us here on this earth to have dominion, to subdue it. Now, the whole word subdue brings with it the connotation there's going to be a fight, right? To subdue and overtake somebody, that means you had to pursue, you had to do something to gain that ground. It wasn't just to sit back in a chair and say, well, whatever will come today, we'll take care of it. No, he said, pursue. Guys, you know what pursuing is like, right? Every married male in here and those that are hoping to be married knows what pursuit is about. You chased after something until you overcame it. Anything in life worth having is worth a pursuit, right? If it just falls into your lap, that's why people who win the lotteries and people who inherit millions of dollars usually have more financial problems than people who pursued it. Because they understood what it took to get there. But people just got handed to them. See, I don't get, now granted, I'm not rolling in money. Maybe one of these days I will be. I ain't no maybes about it. But I do not give my sons everything. I don't. They want something, they earn the money and they buy it. They've bought I've paid some on their instruments, but they pretty much, their instruments, they buy.
Joshua, he loves tractors. Guess what? He's buying all those tractors. He's got three of them at my house. But that's going to be up to him to buy them. He's got his eyes set on a four-wheel drive truck for his first vehicle. My first car had a hole inside of the engine that big around. I only got to drive it one time, and that was because I was being towed from one house to the other. That was given to me. He's going to have a really nice truck. You know why? Because he's picking it out. He's going to be the one working for it, and he's going to save it. He's not going to be one of these ding-a-lings that takes it, puts it in four-wheel drive, and goes tearing across the field. Now, four-wheeling's fun. But there's a lot of guys that tear up their trucks. They spend $10,000 on a truck, and then they, boom, they tear the front axle out. Well, there's $5,000 to rebuild it. But he's going to bring me honor by working for those things and subduing and pursuing them. Not, here, Daddy, you come buy this for me and I'll tear it up. It aggravates me to buy my children something and they tear it up. The first day of Christmas, I just soon go back to sleep and wake up the next day. Because inevitably, one toy is going to get broke. And it's usually going to be the one I spent the most on. I remember 2 years ago, I bought them these little micro helicopters, remote control, cool things. I thought, man, harder drive though. Man, you'd push the button, they go whoosh, boom, right up into the ceiling and back down. By the end of the day, though, they were broke. They were so fragile. And I, unfortunately, I will admit to maybe taking some of the blame on that, but because I'm the one that found out the ceiling fan doesn't like them either. But so anyhow, man was put here to bring the earth into subjection, to bring things back into order. He was put here to have dominion. I mean, he was to rule. Now, I guess I'm going to have to clarify this just a little bit. I personally believe that Satan fell before the creation of man. I can show you in the Bible some scriptures that actually allude to the fact that he fell before man was here, and that there was actually an earth here before mankind was here. That's what I believe. And people that just believe that Satan fell in the garden, that Satan was a serpent, they've twisted scripture, because it's nowhere in there that Satan was the serpent. According to tradition, Satan talked the serpent into doing it. My Bible says the serpent was the craftiest of all the creatures God created. It doesn't say Satan possessed the serpent. It doesn't say Satan became a serpent. It said the serpent did this. And so therefore the serpent was cursed. And so I believe God brought man in on the picture because guess what? He said, let's make man in our image. Three part. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He made man three part. Mind, will, spirit. Soul. I get them mixed up sometimes. Spirit, soul, and body. There we go. I wish I could remember that simple way of putting it. So spirit, soul, and body. We're a three-part being. We have a mind, will, and emotions, right? We live in a body, but our spirit will go on forever. Our spirit is that part of us that is the animated part. It brings us life. You know, see, we sit around here and we look at each other in various stages of our lives. You know, some of us got gray hair. Some of us have less hair. Some of us, you know, have a little more wrinkles. But inside, that's not what you look like. Inside, you haven't aged a day. You are still the same person. Personally, I believe it's about 30 years old. 30 was a good year for me. A lot of us are saying amen. Had a little more hair. A little less belly. So, inside of us, God made us just like like himself. He's a three-part being. He's God the Father. He's God the Son. Son became flesh. He's God the Spirit. Mind, will, and emotions. The Holy Spirit brings joy, right? God the Father is the Spirit. He's the man. That's why everybody glorifies him. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Jesus glorifies the Father. They all work together to glorify the man. The man of God, the Father, okay? That's if you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying God is a man. Well, God is a man. He's male. Everything in Scripture points to that, okay?
God's a female.
Well, I understand he calls him the many-breasted one in one place, but come on. It says he. But anyhow, so I believe God put man here to keep victory over the devil. I believe God put man here so that the devil would remain under our feet. And the devil could not do this on his own. He didn't have the power. See, as a matter of fact, in Ezekiel, it talked, well, let's turn here, Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm going to start in verse 11, just so I can start reading this, of chapter 28. Kind of lay some foundation. Sometimes you got to lay a little more foundation so that people can actually get hold of what you're trying to say. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre. This is not the physical king of Tyre. You'll understand why in a second. This is the spiritual king of Tyre, the ruler. And say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. You were the standard. Full of beauty and perfect, or full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. See, a lot of people think, I mean, the devil's stupid because he keeps trying to defeat us. But the problem is, he's not an idiot. He's still got that wisdom. He knows how to sneak around and get, he knows how to find loopholes. He was a pretty good lawyer, apparently. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Now, like I said, we're not going to get into this today, but you got to understand, if you follow this all the way down and do the study out of this, he was in Eden, but he wasn't. Eden was the land of God before, period. God never changes his mind. He doesn't change who he is. Jerusalem's always been Jerusalem. Okay? It says, every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. Remember all the horns we're talking about the devil supposedly has? They're trumpets and tambourines. His scales are actually tambourines. Was prepared for you the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Now let's go down to verse 17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Now, what happened was, Lucifer, at this point, now Satan, forgot who he was. He forgot to give God that glory. See, he's the one, he was the instrument through which it transferred. He stood before God. He was the anointed cherub who covered. That's why it was such a devastating blow. And as he started receiving the praise and worship, the praise and the honor and adoration from down below, he forgot to give it to God. He started, wait a minute, I look pretty good. This glory looks pretty good on me. Man, look at me. I'm the stuff today. And then he decided, you know what? They're giving me all this power. I have this power. I think I'm going to make a move on heaven. I think I'm going to take my throne and exalt it higher than God's. And he talked a third of heaven to doing it. He talked one third of the hosts of heaven to join him. The Bible says he was cast to the ground. Jesus later says, I saw Satan fall as lightning. Which is many times why you see in demonic things, they use lightning. Now, just so you know, lightning does not always represent the devil. Okay, that's kind of like saying that, never mind. We just get goofy with things on the earth. Listen, they change tomorrow. Tomorrow, an orchid could represent the devil. Anything could, we could turn it and say, well, that was the devil. That represents the devil. Well, it just depends on how you use it. Well, the devil's represented in the dollar. Well, you can give me the dollar and you don't have to have the devil with you. Because I have authority over the devil, amen? So, God put man here to keep the devil below his feet. And that's why Lucifer, or Satan, had to talk the serpent into doing his dirty work for him. Because Adam knew, basically, who he was supposed to keep in line. He wasn't going to have a problem with the animals. The animals didn't have a problem with man. There was no enmity between man and the animals until after sin entered in. It was only until that point, the glory lifted. See, they forgot. They disobeyed God and the glory lifted off of them. I'll give you another example of somebody who the glory of God was on. They lived, now this person lived a sinful life, basically. And that was Samson. He was a judge over Israel. But he basically lived a sinful life. Even though he was set apart, I mean, those were set apart. He drank. As a Nazarite, he was not supposed to drink. That was part of his covenant with God. He was not to drink. Now, they weren't supposed to take women of the Philistines, period, or any other wives. But Adam, well, he was a whoremonger. He liked the ladies. Or Samson, not Adam. I'm sure Adam liked the ladies, too. When he saw Eve, he said, whoa, man. But anyhow, so Samson, he liked the ladies. There was one part of his covenant he never broke, and that was his hair. But the problem is you can't flirt with sin and not break your covenant. Eventually you will break it. Like I said, he still ruled, and the Spirit of God was still on him. He was still the anointed of God, which is what I say to you. Listen, I don't care who fell. I don't care who fell down. We're all susceptible to falling down. Amen? I could walk out those doors and fall flat on my face on the concrete. It just happens. Don't talk about the anointed of God. Keep your lips off of him. David killed the man who took credit for killing Saul. He thought he was going to get a reward. He got a reward, all right. He got run through with a sword. So anyhow, but the anointed of God was in this time was Samson. It was only until he broke the final part of his covenant. The final vow of his covenant was not to cut his hair. And he told her, if the 7 locks of my hair were to be cut. He had dreadlocks, folks. If they were to be cut, I would become just like any other man. When they were cut, the Bible says the Spirit of God had left him. Now, it says when he got up to fight off the Philistines this time, said the Spirit of God had departed from him, and he knew it not. I have to say that's one of the saddest scriptures that I can ever find. Was that the Spirit of God left somebody, and they didn't know it. Adam and Eve realized it. Other historical writings talk about Adam entering into such a depression because he had walked with God. You got to understand, he was with God. You know what happens when you walk with God? You start to look like God. You start to talk like God. You start to act like God. Moses was just a normal man. He fled at about the age of 40, comes back 40 years later. He's 80 years old, and he's got to lead these 2 million whiny butt people out of slavery, and they don't want to go. But there was something Moses had, and God knew that. And that was Moses was obedient. God told him to leave where he'd been for 40 years. Why do I want to leave here? I've got it made. I got a wife. I got my children. I got a family. I got a job. I got a rich father-in-law. He says, I got it all. But he gave that up for obedience. And the Bible says later on that when Moses would be with God, they told Moses, said, you got to put a veil on. You know, man, you got to put a bag over your face. We can't stand to look at you. You look like God. You are so glorified. And it wasn't because Moses was a perfect man. And I'm not saying don't be striving. Forget perfection. You're not going to hit it. Strive to be obedient. Anybody trying for perfection, have you figured it out? Exactly. You're just going to drive yourself nuts and everybody else around you. Perfection really is your enemy. Let Christ make you perfect. Okay? Because I'm going to promise you, by the time you think you're perfect, God's going to show you an area in your life that you are so far out in left field that it's going to take 10 years to get you back in. So anyhow, so Moses was an obedient man, and his obedience to God's word and God's commandments glorified Moses. And Moses, in turn, went and he glorified God. Now, they did sing. This is where I'm getting back to. It says that the praise and worship, he was basically the praise and worship band. Lucifer was. From the sounds of it to me, man, he's got tambourines, he's got horns coming at him. He probably brought the rest of the team down with him. It didn't say that. I don't know where the electric guitars were at and the drums. I'm sure they were in there somewhere. But I would say that everybody who was close to him, who was responsible for that praise, fell. Problem is because they quit giving it to God. See, that's why we sing a song, we bring the sacrifice of praise. Anybody remember it? Into the house of our God. It's a sacrifice. It means we get it, we got to give it. And when we give it, God is indeed glorified, but he's glorified more in your life by your obedience than he is in lip service. He's not interested in butt kissers. You following me? Maybe that smacked you in the forehead and got it through. He's not interested in people who's just going to offer him lip service. Oh, honey, I love you. You're just so sweet. Hey, baby, how you doing? That's just lip service. If I really want to show her my love, I will obey the vows of my, or the words of my vow, and I will forsake all others and pursue you only. See, when we decide, hey, I'm going to serve God, we're saying, you know what? Listen, this is a hard part for people to swallow. I'm setting my goals and my aspirations to the side. And I'm going to pursue God's goals and God's aspirations for my life. Because let me tell you something. When you pursue God's goals and aspirations for your life, you will find yours paled in comparison. Because God's got so much for you, that right now you're blind to it. We can't see. Just like Adam and Eve couldn't see they were naked, we can't see the full thing that God's got for us, his full glory. And he's only glorified in this earth if we're obedient. If we're not telling people about Jesus, if we're not living the life that Christ led as an example for us, that's why I say, you know, we look at all these people in the Bible, Samson and David and, you know, even Peter. We're not supposed to be looking at them as our example. Christ was our example. They all failed. And we failed. But we don't have to continue a defeated life of failure. We don't have to keep coming in second place. You know, like I said, I'm a competitive person, and when I compete, I don't consider second place a place of honor. I consider second place the first loser. If you didn't win, what's the point in celebrating? It's just second place. I didn't win. Which is sometimes why I don't compete in things, because I get competitive. So much competitive that, hey, if I get hurt, big deal. A little blood. You know, I thought of a competition we had when I was in the Marine Corps, and why we did some of these stupid things. I mean, we did it. We thought, oh, yeah, we're tough and we're bad. But we had this little obstacle course that we had to run, and the entire battalion was there. And you had this wire that you're supposed to get down and crawl under. You have to low crawl, so your head's got to lay flat, and you got to crawl underneath it. And we had some guys that it's obvious they hadn't done it for a while. Man, we're out of six people, we're fifth, and we're about to get past. And finally, and I wasn't the anchor leg on this race, but I was the next to the last. And they finally, they got across, and all five of the trails are open. Now, to show you, like I said, how competitive I am, I didn't think about my safety whatsoever. I had from here to about JD to run. And when the person tapped my hand, I took off running and dove underneath that barbed wire. A span, I had enough speed that I slid from about here to where Phil's at. Got out on the other side in first place, came back and did the same thing again, and we won. But I didn't take my own safety into consideration that, you know, it wouldn't have taken but one piece of barbed wire to lay my scalp wide open or my back. So, but that's the way we're actually supposed to be with the devil in this world. We're not supposed to look at ourselves and say, oh, well, you know what, what's going to happen to me? Hey, it's not about me. It's about the team, right? I was always an individual. When I competed as an individual. But we needed to win that race, and that brought glory to our unit if we won. So I said, forget it. Now, mind you, I had to dump a lot of dirt out of my pants because that buckle dug into the ground. But in the process, I started learning that if we bring glory by being obedient, then we're glorified. Well, I want to stand out. Well, you're still an individual. How about coming together as a team and watch what we can do? And it's a sad thing when sometimes when you've only got one talented player on your team. I've seen some teams that are like, man, they had a real great quarterback or they had a real great running back, but if everybody else was playing mediocre, it doesn't matter who you got on your team. Man, you could have Walter Payton. So what? You can't give him the ball. You could have Terry Bradshaw, quarterback, Lynn Swan, Mean Joe Green. You could have all those guys. Big whoop, you're going to get beat if they're only going to play for their personal glory. But if we're playing, if we're living our lives to bring glory to God now, we're pursuing it to be obedient to His commandments. He's going to glorify us. Let me tell you how some of the ways He glorifies us. He rewards us in prosperity. He rewards us in seeing greater and greater victories. That's why He said, you'll take up if you believe. How many of you really believe that if you have to pick up a poisonous snake, that it's not going to hurt you? But that's what Mark 16:18 says. If I have to. Or in Paul's case, he didn't pick up the snake. It was in the wood. He was just trying to keep warm, and the thing snuck out and bit him. And he's just like, I mean, it said it bit him on the hand. I don't know if it got him on the palm, probably on the top. Is that he just walked over the fire and shook the thing off and kept going. They just sat around waiting for him. Oh, he was a criminal. Justice has been served. How many times do we say that? Justice has been served. You know, in their case, justice was a god. They were idol worshipers, and justice was one of their gods. His name was Justice. And that's what they believed, that if somebody got bit by a snake, evidently they'd done something bad. And justice had come back around. Hindus call it karma. Not everything bad, you know, I do believe in the law of reaping and sowing. You do good things are coming back. You do bad things, guess what? But bad things happen to good people too. And good things happen to bad people. Okay? So we just need to drop the stereotypes of religious thinking and thinking that, well, you know what? You know, Phil hit a deer. He must have done something bad. He didn't hit the brakes fast enough at all. That's all that. That's the only thing he did bad. It wasn't that Phil was being a bad person. It was just the deer was stupid. Thought, oh, hey, I can see the road. I'm going to walk across. Now, let's turn to John 16. Go to verse 13. Actually, go to verse 12. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Who's the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. So when the Holy Spirit's telling you something, he's not telling you something that he made up. He's telling you because God the Father told him. Now, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he can forewarn you of things to come. He can tell you good things and he can tell you bad things that'll come. Some people say, I just had this. Something just told me not to go in there. Who do you think the someone is? But you think you're running around here with a seventh or a sixth sense on things? You got your spidey sense up? Something just told me he was a bad man. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, forewarning you. 14, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Declare. It means to make it clear. Jesus has already given us all of his authority, and he said, what's mine is yours now. By the way, he said, now, in John, I think it's 14. Just hold your finger there. Or no, I take it back. It's Matthew 22, anyhow. Remember, the disciples came to him and said, Master, your mother and your sister, your brothers are out here, right? He later said, he goes on to say, he says, you know what? Whoever does my will, whoever does the will of my Father is my brothers and sisters. And then he said, and the Bible says that we have been made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So Jesus elevated us up on his plane, right? We have everything he has. You've got access to everything Jesus had. You need tax money, declare it. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that showed Jesus that there was a fish that had swallowed a coin and that it was over there off the docks. He told Peter where to go. He told Peter to drop a hook in. Today we call that snagging, right? It has to have bait on it. You can't catch it in the gills. But this fish had a coin in it that was enough to pay Jesus' and Peter's taxes. Peter got his tax paid for being obedient. I like obedience. Pay my taxes, please. Anyhow, it says, and he will declare it to you. He's going to make it clear. Everything he's got, the Holy Spirit's going to make it more and more clear, but it's only going to come upon obedience. That's why I said, if you want more of God this year, you can't do the same things you did last year. Well, Pastor, I spent more time in prayer. No. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm saying you can't keep the same mindset. Yeah, you may have spent more time in prayer, but did you do what God had already commanded? Are you doing what God has commanded here first? And then God will tell you individually in your heart what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? Well, God told me to cut off my right hand. Well, now back up the boat here just a little bit. Why did he tell you to cut off your right hand? Well, what's your right hand got to do with anything? Well, my problem is it's stealing. Well, it's not you cut off your hand, you cut off the opportunities for your hand to sin, okay? The Holy Spirit will clarify things, but I've heard people get goofy on that. Oh, he meant for you to pluck out your eyeball. Talk about a depth perception adjustment. Cut off your hand? What if you're called to be a writer? You cut off your right hand and you're not left-handed. What are you going to do then? Yeah, you're going to be texting with... But the Holy Spirit will make everything crystal clear to us by obedience to God. And we can only get it by growing. That's why I don't want to see everybody stay the same as they were last year. I want to see you grow more and more and to understand the authority you've got in this earth. But until we put those things that are binding us to death, I'm talking old religious mindsets. Religious means just what habits, ways. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it brings death. There are things we've done, things I've done in the past, things, mindsets I had to totally change. Kenneth Copeland has been preaching this message for 5 years down there at the minister's conference. I'm just now getting it. He was talking about this. And I just got it. It took me 5 years of hearing that. Pastor, am I going to have to hear the message for 5 years? Well, until you get it, yes. Because until you get it, you haven't got anything. What good is it going to do you to pretend that, I'm in here, I come to church on Sunday morning and I lift my hands, I sing the four songs, and we sit down, I give an offering, and you know, sometimes I might think about tithing, but I don't do it yet because I don't believe the Word of God yet. And you know, and then the pastor he blesses us as we leave. And then I go home and I'm weak. Well, you're weak because you don't believe the Word of God, for starters. You're weak because you're being disobedient. There's a lot of people still running around trying to do what your father did. Let me ask you a question. If you're following me and I'm going down the road in my truck and I'm bouncing all over the place, you know, just hitting every pothole because I have to, and you're following me, we're headed to the same place, or we think we're headed to the same place, and you look over here and there's a road running parallel with no potholes in it, but you're still following me. Who's on the wrong road? I would say both of us. But should you keep following me? Bible says the blind leading the blind, they both end up in a ditch. If I keep winding up in a ditch, do you think you need to keep following me? If you don't know the answer, I highly recommend not. You know, I did get in trouble in Motor T school because I wasn't afraid to drive. They put me in this 10,000-pound truck, six-wheel drive, five-speed. I was probably one of the few in my class that knew how to drive one, a stick. And, man, we had a mud hole. This was on a tank trail. Mud hole's as big as this building, this room was, back on that tank trail. And they stopped just before it, and I thought, well, we got to get through that mud hole. I've already been through it four times. I know it's not real deep. It's probably 3 feet. Problem is it drops off. Man, I took off like a dragster. I third gear and I hit that mud hole. That truck dropped 3 feet, and we just came flying up out of there. I wasn't afraid of it. Other guys, they'd get it in there and they'd stall it. So you may not want to always follow me. Sometimes I think the bumps are kind of fun. First time I drove a Hummer, he said, here, climb this hill. The mound of dirt wasn't any higher than this room was. He said, here, climb this hill. Cool. First time I drove a four-wheel drive, we topped over that thing. Whoom! Said, now stop. All right, set the parking brake, get another driver. Man, I'm just starting to have fun. But the point being, if there's another route and it's smoother and you get to the right point, you could get broke down following me. You could get hurt. You could get lost. But if I keep falling in a ditch, don't keep following me. Quit doing the things I'm doing. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ says, go to church. Did he not? He even told Paul to reiterate it. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself, even as the times grow darker. That's kind of a paraphrase, but especially now, because people are being deceived. Well, I can lay out of church and do what I want to do. You can't smoke dope. You can't drink. You can't do whatever the heck you think you want to do. Do you want to wind up in hell? Because that's where those people go. Bible doesn't say just because you profess Jesus Christ that you go to heaven. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself taught it contrary in the word. He said, many will say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, who are you? I don't know you. You didn't obey me. I said, quit smoking, quit drinking, quit acting like this, quit doing this, quit cussing. And you said, okay, I don't want any, I'll try to knock out some of it. But you know, Lord, I like to take a drink periodically. Why? Because you're addicted. I'm just going to tell you flat out, you cannot drink. It's actually against the scripture. I used to think, until I studied it out, as a baby moronic Christian, I used to think that you could. Until I studied it out and saw it in the scripture that it is not permissible for the people of God to drink alcohol. Well, Pastor, it calms me down. Bingo. Nothing in this world is supposed to take the place of the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, that cigarette, it just really helps me calm things down. No, it's giving you lung cancer. Come on. You remember I just told you about my Daniel fast and cut out all tea? Had a headache for a week. You know why? Because I was addicted to the caffeine. That first week was really hard, and I thank God I've made it. But anything that affects your personality, God is dead set against. Because he wants your personality to reflect him. And if you're having a hangover, or if you're having withdrawals because of alcohol or nicotine, you are not going to be yourself. That's all there is to it. I've been with people and they say, oh, I got to go smoke my cigarette. I said, okay, you know what? Seeing how you're offering me a service, please go smoke. I don't want you messing up on me. Because if you're getting all crabby and all, well, in particular, she's cutting my hair, I don't want that. You, by all means, take 10 minutes if you need to. I don't want to walk around looking like a skinned onion. I had one of those haircuts one time. No, this was bad. Not everybody can cut a military regulation haircut. I'll just tell you that right now. As simple as it is, it's a skill. Anyhow, skill all of its own. And if you're not trained in it, you don't know how to do it. But God wants us free from all those influences so that we're listening to his voice, that we're not controlled by the things that are around us. See, there's a lot of times people will come, I tell them, whoops, I said, they'll come up and they'll tell me they've got a problem and they expect me to do something about it. You know what I want to do about the problems? I want to take it upon myself to fix it. Guys, what are we? We're the fixers. I keep hearing that over and over. Women don't want you to fix their problems. But guess what, women? You tell us your problems, we want to fix them. That's just the way we are. I believe mankind, man, the male of the species, has been trying to fix things ever since Adam. In his own way. How many know that hasn't worked out so far? We have to do the things the way Jesus did. Jesus came down and fixed a whole lot of problems. He took care of a lot of problems, but he didn't do them the way we would have. When he was standing before Pilate, he told Pilate, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. My servants... If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would rise up and they would overtake you. We would overthrow this world. I think that's pretty interesting right there. Was it last count? Well, we know that on the day of Pentecost there was 120, so maybe 500. Jesus had confidence in the 500 of those people that with those 500 he could overthrow this world. The physical kingdoms. But he said, my kingdom isn't of this world. Now, I want to hit this real quick. The world he's talking about is not this earth, folks. Everybody says, oh, this old world, I hate this world, I hate everything about it. Then you hate the creation of God. God created this earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It belongs to him. The world he's talking about is the authority that is in current power. Especially because it's not supposed to be. We are supposed to be operating and walking in the authority that Jesus got us. Jesus took full authority over everything. Why do you think he was able to walk freely for 3.5 years? Nobody could touch him. They'd try to kill him. They were going to stone him. They were going to push him off a cliff. He just disappeared. He walked on the water. He could do just about anything he wanted to do. He wasn't bound here by the laws of gravity. Obviously, because he walked on the water. But if we will understand fully, first off, the authority that we've been given by Jesus now. See, we were given that authority originally in the garden. If we understand that authority, we can walk as Adam walked. I promise you, you will not need to tell one person you're a Christian. I promise you. If you're being obedient to God, I mean to his commandments, you're being obedient to the vow you've taken. If you take a vow, listen, you better watch the promises you're making God. You hear me? Everybody says, oh, I made God this promise and I broke it. You might want to go back in and study about making a vow to God. Don't say, Lord, Lord, I'll do this if you'll do this. I mean, how many times we see it in the movies? Somebody's about to die and they say, oh, Lord, if you'll make this happen, I'll serve you. And then at the end of it, they say, are you going to hold me to that? You better believe he's going to hold them to it. Because you don't make a promise to God and then not keep it. Because that's not the type of God he is. He made you a promise and he kept it. That's why Jesus said, if you believe, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you so your joy will be complete. People keep asking God for things. Hey, my joy would be complete with a few more new things. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I'm happy. But I could be happier. I mean, seriously. And he said things. So let's keep that in mind. When he said things, that's what he meant. He said things. So it is God's will for you to have some things. I mean, for crying out, why would he give Job all those donkeys and camels? Job was already a very, very wealthy man, and then God doubled everything. Gave him the most beautiful daughters in the land. Well, I don't understand what the point of that was. Listen, you had a daughter that everybody wanted, you were going to get honored more. Everybody, I mean, it amazes me the disdain that a lot of people pick up for women. They say, well, the Bible teaches it. No, the Bible does not teach it. Job loved his daughters. And they were more than just a bartering tool for him. They brought him honor, and he gave that honor to God. And God made sure that things were taken care of in his life. So if you really want to glorify God, folks, you got to obey God. You can't sit there and offer God lip service. Oh, God, I make you this promise, I'll make you this vow. You better stop right there. Don't make God vows. I'll just tell you that right now. I know there might be some people, I don't agree with that, Pastor. You need to make, what, so you can break it? God's harder on somebody that breaks vows than somebody that doesn't make them. I learned a while back, you know what, God, I'm going to quit making you a promise. Because I always break it. It never mattered. God, I'm going to, I remembered one time when I was about 10, we'd really started learning about prayer And I don't know why, but I said, Lord, I just started learning about POWs and MIAs. And I remember I told God one night, I said, I'm going to pray for their return every night until they're released. Do you know how long it's been since I've prayed for their release? And the reason being is I believe most of them are dead. That's what I believe. I'm not saying we should have ever backed out. We should have never left that country. Was it like 60,000 or something like that? 60,000 at least Americans who are missing. But I took an oath. I said, God, I'm going to pray for them until they're back. I broke it. And there's other things I said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I won't do that, Lord. I told God I wouldn't drink. Became an alcoholic. I learned, you know what? I'm not going to take any more vows. Because I'm going to tell you what. What you do is you set yourself up for a challenge. How many of you know life throws enough tests at you anyhow? The devil's going to be there to test you, but when you take a vow and you say, God, I'm going to get up every morning at 5:30 and I'm going to pray. Well, the devil's going to get you so worried and stressed out about things, you won't go to sleep until 4:30. Trust me, I know. Yeah, the electric will go off, and then you won't have the alarm clock to set it off, and you're like, But when you make a vow, you'd better keep it. And if you've broke it, go back to God and humbly ask Him to forgive you. Now, Pastor, aren't you afraid that the glory, you know, people, the devil fell to it? You're right. And a lot of men have fallen. There's been a lot of men who have been walked in the power of God and in the full glory of God. And they've fallen for one reason. They forgot to keep giving God the glory. They started keeping it as their own. See, we were created to walk in it. We weren't created to keep it. And when you walk in the glory of God, God Himself, according to Genesis, when Adam was walking in the glory of God, God would come down and walk in the garden with him. I mean, how cool is that? That's something that even Moses didn't get. Because when Moses got it, there was usually fire, lightning, and smoke that followed him. And the only part God ever let Moses see was his backside. He just let him watch him look as he walked past. He covered him up until he got past, and then he said, now, you can see my rear end of my train, that's it, of my robe. But you don't get to see anything else because you can't handle it. But not Adam. Adam got to walk face to face with God. I mean, how would you like to be hiding in a bush? I mean, you just stitched yourself up a pair of fig leaf skivvies. You're hiding in the bush, and God comes up and says, Keith, what are you doing in the bush? Keith says, well, me and Liz just figured out we're naked. God looks at him and says, who told you were naked? What did you do, Keith? Yeah, you talk to her, Lord, and then she says, you talk to the snake. But he was face to face with him. But that was the last. That was the last any mankind has seen God face to face like that. But what I want to tell you, when you start walking in the glory of God, you're going to get closer and closer. See, Moses was able to see the backside of God because of obedience. And he was glorified. I mean, he turned white. He glowed so much, his beard, his hair, he blinded people walking by him. Like, man, dude, put a veil on, put a bag over your head, cut some holes out or something. We can't stand to look at you. It physically affected him. We can't look on God until I don't think we'll ever look on Him until we're perfected. And I don't think we're going to be perfected here. We go glory to glory. Precept, we build it upon revelation, upon our obedience. We keep moving forward. And as we keep moving forward, God keeps building this stuff up underneath of us. He keeps building us up. He keeps glorifying us little by little. You know, I mean, what do you think would happen to Bobby if all of a sudden, you know, Bobby got saved and God said, God jumped down there and said, hey, Bobby, here I am, face to face. Bobby's the only man since Adam that's seen God face to face. What do you think might happen to Bobby? Bobby hasn't had time to grow in the Lord yet. He hasn't had time to develop a relationship. He starts to turn around and says, hey, did you see God face to face? I have. How about you? I've seen God face to face, man. Who on this earth can tell me what's what? I've seen God face to face, preacher. Don't you tell me what his word says. He's going to be revealed to us all at the same time. So I don't think there's going to be any man running around here saying, I've seen God and you haven't. I don't get concerned when people say, I had seen Jesus last night. You know what? That's great. That's great. You saw Jesus in not quite his glorified state. I'll hold on. It's not because I don't want to see Jesus. Come on. I want to see him in his full glory. I want to be able to handle it. And 9 times out of 10, when Jesus has to come down and talk to you, face to face, ask Paul about that. Oh, by the way, Paul was blinded during that. Even he didn't see the full glory of God. He said, Lord, who are you? He couldn't look up and see who it was. God had to blind him. And he said, I'm Jesus who you keep persecuting. You keep killing all these people and you're not killing them. You're fighting against me. Now you keep kicking against me. I'm a prick. Prick meant a pokey stick. Something you used to jab the animals along. They didn't have cattle prods back then, like we got today with a little electric to them. You just poke them with that stick and they'd move. See, that's what you're kicking against. And guess who gets the business end of it? The person who's kicking against it. Well, I tell you, I think I'm going to have to stop right there. Just because I know that was a load. I feel lighter. But what we're coming into, folks, with the revelation of who we are in Christ, we are not just people walking around on this earth to be kicked around. We are people put on this earth to dominate it. The devil. Well, Pastor, how can we dominate it when we got so much evil going on in the world? Let's see. Has anybody ever put the correlation here of devil, evil? Evil, devil. There's only evil in the world because we're allowing the devil to rule. We don't have to let the devil rule. Now, there is coming a time when there will be an antichrist that will rise up that is already prophetically spoken by God, and it will have to happen. Just as when he was praying there for his disciples, he said, Lord, I have them all but save one, the son of perdition, whom it had to be fulfilled for prophecy that Judas would have to do what he did. Judas was not saved, by the way. There was no sacrifice at that time and place for what Judas did. But we've now been given the authority over the devil. And as we walk in that authority, we walk in that glory of God. When we're obedient and we start ruling this earth like we're supposed to, like Adam was supposed to, I believe, folks, we will see the glory of God manifest in our lives. People will walk up and say, man, what is, you know, they call it an aura. You know, you see it in all the medieval pictures where they got this. You don't get that just because you got saved. Do I believe there was one around Jesus? You better believe it. Bugs are attracted to light. So are people. Right? Man, you go, whoop. Hey, let's go over here. There's light over here. It's all dark. Let's go to the light. What are we supposed to be in a dark world, folks? We're supposed to be a light. People are supposed to be attracted to us, but if we're not walking in the glory of God, what's there to be attracted to? Oh, you're a burned out light bulb. That's what it is. Oh, you have your battery. You ain't got no batteries. You have no power. And you got burned out. I say it's time now. You get yourself regrounded. Get yourself recharged. Get yourself some batteries. Start being the light that you're supposed to be in this world. I'm preaching to the church today, folks. If you're not saved, well, I can take care of that. I can lead you to Jesus. I can introduce you to the power that's going to change this world. But what I can promise you is, if you will take what the Word says and apply it in your life every day, God tells you to do something, you go do it. Don't question Him. Don't buck. Amen. Obedience is much better than sacrifice. I'll emphasize my emphasis on much, I added. But you know, in a war, who gets the glory? Really? The general. The commanding general gets the glory in the war. But who did the work? The troops. The grunts. Yeah. The privates. The lance corporals. The corporals. PFCs. They did the bulk of the work. But the general got the glory. He also got the blame if they lost. But a good general will not keep the glory. A good general will realize, I didn't do it all. I just gave orders. It was this gunner. It was this tank commander. It was this artillery unit. It was this motor transport unit. He realizes that it was the men below him, and he will share in that glory with them, and he will reward them. You know, in particular, the Marine Corps is very stingy when it comes to rewards, as far as medals and ribbons. So if you see a Marine with a chest full of ribbons, he's actually been somewhere and done something. But during Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield, and the unit I was with, we supported all the units that were heading there. We were working overtime, fixing their vehicles, painting them, doing whatever we had to do to get them ready for combat. I mean, we were making up parts. We were taking parts off of trucks, off our own trucks, putting them on theirs, and getting them going. And both units that I was with during this time were in support of that. Here we sit. They call it the rear. We're back in the rear. Man, you know, we did all this work. And it sits back and it looks like, well, they're the ones that got the ticker tape parade. We got a 6-month extension overseas and got to work overtime. But what happened was somebody realized that it wasn't those guys who did all the work. Somebody came down and said, you know what? These units are the ones who made our mission successful. And they rewarded us with citations. So when I got out, I actually came out with 5 ribbons. Two of them were a meritorious unit citation and a naval unit citation because of the extraordinary work that we did above and beyond the call of duty. When you do that, a good commander remembers and he shares the glory. He makes sure that everybody is glory, gets to share in the glory. And God's no different, folks. Because when you're walking in the glory of God, people know it. People are attracted to you. They know you can take them to Jesus. But you're not going to walk in the glory first until you start walking in the authority. And to walk in authority means you've got to be obedient. Well, I want more authority, Pastor. Well, you're going to have to be more obedient. You're going to have to go through more tests. You know, if your boss keeps paying you for not doing any more work, he's kind of a bozo. He's not smart. But if you're doing more work, he'd better start paying you if he's a smart boss. He better start promoting you. And God is the same way. When you start doing more, you start believing more. See, it was counted, they shared the glory for believing God. But folks, they stepped out and did things they weren't comfortable with. So they went out and they cast out demons. You mention the word demons in most churches today, and the people sit there and they shudder. Oh, we don't want to see demons. I say, bring them on. Who are we? The defeated? Oh, heavens no. We're in the army of the Lord of hosts. We the host. We're the kings and priests. We're supposed to be the rulers of this earth. We're supposed to be the victors, not the devil. And there ain't no demon coming out of hell right now that's got more power than you've got. But they do have some power. So don't sit there and think, well, I can take on anything in the world. I just got saved yesterday. Well, you might be able to do a little bit today. But what God's got for you tomorrow means you're going to have to grow from today. And then the day after, you're going to have to keep going. And you have to keep going and keep going. Well, Pastor, God hasn't called me to preach. No, he probably hasn't called you to come out and become a fivefold minister. You know what? Do you know what happens when everybody's a chief? Nothing gets done. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been in businesses where there's five bosses and two workers. What gets done? Not a thing. My unit in Okinawa, we got down to like, we had about 20 troops, 20 E3s and below, and there were 15 E4s and above. And it lived in the barracks. So that meant that it was between corporals and sergeants, E4s and E5s. And the E3s and below were the ones that cleaned the barracks. It got down to a point where there was three troops in my squad, and we were supposed to clean a room this size, but there was four E4s. I think I've shared that before. It was the only time I really got mad that I threatened the safety of another human being. But to say the least, he got up and started helping. Because the problem is, we all going to get in trouble if it's not cleaned right. But we're all going to share in the glory if it's done right. So when we quit thinking about ourselves and we start thinking about the big picture, hey, you know what? I need to do this. Man, bless God. I need to clean up my act so my brother Keith is glorified. I need to be a church so my brother Keith is glorified. So that the people here are glorified and they're walking in the authority of God. I'm not talking from a pastor's perspective. We were talking about this the other day. We got hold of this revelation of being at church. We went on vacation. We went to church. We visited somebody. We went to church. We didn't go on vacation and say, God, you stay at home. How stupid is that? Then you go on vacation, go to church. If you're away from your church, go to church someplace. But Pastor, there ain't no churches quite like home. I thank you for that. There isn't. There's no place quite like home. I don't care where I go to church. I love to come back home. Man, we were in Texas. All I could think about was coming back home. Everybody says, Mount Gilead, nothing. Morrow County is just ugly. You know what? I think Morrow County is one of the prettiest places on the planet. You need to change your perspective. Because I've seen some pretty bad places in the world. And Morrow County is not one of them. Well, let's stand. They've informed me I'm no longer being recorded. So now I can really preach. No. Oh, hallelujah. And listen, if you're believing for a healing, stand on it. I don't care what the devil's telling you. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. He created lies. He deceived himself. He's got wisdom, but he's stupid. Ever known anybody like that?